Wisconsin Eye is in Milwaukee at the Republican State Convention. We're interviewing Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Thanks for taking the time to visit with Wisconsin Eye.
Good to be with you.
In your speech to the delegates, you said, let me quote it, that blue wave is going to crash against a red wall on November 6th.
That's right.
Why are you so optimistic, sir?
Oh, I think what we're seeing is that congressional generic number, which everybody in politics monitors very closely, is still all over the place. So I think basically what I'm trying to tell people is, listen, if you work hard, especially the volunteers out there, if you work hard and do what we usually do, I think we'll be in good shape. You know, I'm not buying into the whole idea that, oh my goodness, it's all gloom and doom for the Republican Party because of the traditional kind of projections midterm that you see, during a midterm. So, no, I you know, here at the state convention, it's been great because I think I've had the opportunity to talk to a few people that, you know, are very concerned, and I tell them, listen, just keep your nose down and do what we usually do, and I think we'll be fine in November.
You worried about President Trump's approval numbers? He's varied from 37 to 42, somewhere in there.
Yeah, you know, he's hovering now, you know, even you look at some other states as well where he's at 40, 41, 42. I mean, that's good. That's great. And I think, you know, we'll take that. And we know where he was most effective, and that was northern Wisconsin and along the river. And if those numbers hold, I think it helps helps us not only in the U.S. Senate race, but helps us in the gubernatorial. And then from there, you're working down ticket to get to the state Senate. So I feel good with the candidates we have up. I mean, one of the things that is very obvious is that, you know, I only have half of my incumbents that are up for re-election this time. So you're always somewhat a little bit more inoculated, although we know that the Senate has gone back and forth many times over the years. But I feel good about where we're at and the candidates that we have lined up.
Let's talk about Senate District 1, Door County.
Yeah.
You've got two candidates that are, it's getting a little ugly up there. Are you worried about that for both what it means on June 12 and November 6th?
Well, I don't, the ugliness, you know, I'm not going to comment on that. It's kind of politics. But I like the idea that both of our candidates' names are being raised, the profile of the candidate is being raised. And that puts us in a better position to, you know, not only win that special, but puts us in a better spot for November. So, you know, I like what's going on in the first. I think we've got a good message there. And that's, you know, that seat's 53%. I mean, it's a Republican seat, and I think sometimes people forget that.
Yeah.
But
your party's held that since 1977.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at kind of the communities and the message that we have, I think it resonates, and I think we do fine in the first.
Senator Moulton's not seeking re-election. Who have you found to run in that seat, and how do you feel about it?
I feel great there, too. In the 23rd, Assemblywoman Bernier was somebody that we started talking to right away because she had expressed some interest in maybe running for that Senate seat if Senator Moulton stepped down. And because he did, put us in a position where I think not only is Representative Brazier kind of the person who'll do very well in Eau Claire, but I think even beyond that. So, yeah.
Look ahead. If you remain as majority leader, what's your top priority for the next session, Senator?
You know, we got a couple of things that I think individual pieces of legislation that we're doing some Ledge Council studies on. And hopefully that brings us around to maybe a solution on some of those items. But still, you know, I'm going to go back to kind of what we've seen, not only in our state, but let's compare ourselves to some of the other states in the Midwest. I mean, and this is going to be Governor Walker's message as well, is to make sure the state is in a good position fiscally. When you look at other states in the Midwest and even nationwide, when they're still running deficits, broken pension systems, unable to fund education, you know, you're seeing rally after rally right now calling for more money in education in other states. And here we are in excess of $6 million that we were able to put into this budget. I mean, it's still going to be the big fiscal issues that I think we're going to have to visit and try and tackle once we come back in January.
What's your approach to how to break the impasse over transportation highway funding, Senator?
Well, there's a lot going on now. There's a lot going on now that wasn't happening a year ago. And in a couple of conversations I had with members of Congress, some people that are part of the Trump administration, and those that are involved in the industry, I mean, they're expecting some real changes at the federal level. So whether or not it's some type of increase in an infrastructure plan in which states are asked to do some matching, you know, that's something that we have to consider moving into this next session. But I mean, I've been saying publicly for a while, You know, some type of small increase in the gas tax is not going to get it done. It might be part of ultimately what we have to do, but I think the open road tolling still is, that's something that's viable, and it's probably got to be part of that discussion moving forward if we're going to solve, you know, some of the transportation issues that face us.
Are you hearing from the Trump administration that they might be willing to open the door to open road tolling for states like Wisconsin, sir?
Yeah, it's a much different situation than it was even during the budget, in which there were, you know, basically three slots that were open to the states. That's kind of gone by the wayside. If they're going to put literally billions of dollars in a pot that states can compete for, they are going to use, one of the criteria they're going to use is going to be whether or not the state has actually been increasing or can come up with new revenues. And I think that's something that we have to really take a serious look at.
Are your outstate members like Senator Petrowski, Senator Tiffany, Senator Markline, are they worried about the highway improvements that have to be part of the Foxconn development, sir?
I don't know.
Taking money from projects in their area?
Yeah, I don't know, related just to the Foxconn, because, I mean, most of the stuff that's going on in and around that project were projects that needed to be done anyways. So I don't think, you know, it's not like we derailed other projects or moved other projects out. Everyone's concerned about transportation and what it looks like in their own district. I mean, on a steady basis, you hear from municipalities and the counties and the townships about, we need more revenue for transportation. So it's definitely something that's out there in the forefront. And, you know, I think the dynamics are changing rapidly, and we'll be able to address that.
Do you want to put funding in place for both the north-south part of the zoo and the east-west freeway in the next budget, sir?
Yeah, I think absolutely. You know, now you've got, between the Marquette being a very successful project and what you're seeing with the zoo, you've got to finish that off, and I think it's got to be one of the things that is absolutely a priority going into the next budget.
Senator Olson co-chairs this Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding. Are you open to recommendations for a new school aid funding, or are you concerned we won't have enough money for it?
Yeah, after you've been around here for a while, you have some institutional knowledge, and certainly you remember that, you know, school funding and whether or not the formula is actually constitutional, that's been answered. So then it becomes kind of a question of political will. And can you come up with some type of change or shift in that funding that that might address some of the concerns that you hear from the local level? We'll see. I mean, the door is always open. I'm more than willing to sit down and meet with anybody who's got some fresh ideas on school funding. We'll see if that becomes an issue in the next budget.
The governor's favorability is 47-47. Yet there's a whole 12-plus number of Democrats. Do you feel pretty good about the governor's chances to get winning a third term?
I do, because I think his message is right on the mark right now, with not only some of the things that we did do in the budget, but some individual piece of legislation, and then even more recently, you know, as I'm out getting nomination papers signed to run for re-election, I've had a lot of people approach me about the child tax credit, which is kind of, for me, is kind of a pleasant surprise. I wasn't sure if that would necessarily resonate with families, but I see that, you know, people are starting to understand the idea that we have done such a good job in managing the state's finances that we've actually figured out a way to kind of address some of those groups that are saying, hey, if you're going to return the tax dollars, let's find an effective way of doing it. And so I'm pleasantly surprised by the response we're getting on the child tax credit.
That tax credit costs, as you know, $122 million, and then you have the sales tax holiday, which you expanded softly. Are you worried about the surplus going into the next spending cycle, sir?
No, I think we're in good shape. I mean, I do. I think that, with the low unemployment and a couple of other factors like light manufacturing coming back, which I think is kind of a story that's been unreported. You know, in 08, we lost so many manufacturing jobs, and specifically some ripple effect to, you know, trucking and transportation services related to manufacturing. And then also a lot of, like, small tool and die shops that had to cut way back or in some instances had to close up. That's shifting, right? That's changing right now. That's a sector that's really starting to pick up. And you know, that's number three after agriculture and tourism. So I think the economy is expanding, and it's growing in Wisconsin, and that's what we need right now.
Groups like the Wisconsin Counties, the League of Municipalities, are worried about what they see as a trend, the dark store trend, being expanded from retailers to banks to restaurants. Is that an issue? How high is that issue on your priority list for the next session?
Well, it's a big issue, and that's why we created a Ledge Council study group to take a look at all those issues. Once in a while, an issue pops up in front of the legislature that the legislature is not prepared for, because sometimes you don't know kind of how deep the roots are on some of these things. And, we kind of stepped back, took a deep breath, and said, okay, we're hearing from a couple of different sectors about this. Certainly municipalities are concerned about it. Some of the counties have been talking to us about it. And now you've got, the business community that's saying, wait, time out. Let's do this right if we're going to do it. We had a couple of bills that kept bouncing around in the caucus and then ultimately, did have hearings. But I think we're ready to approach it in a really forthright kind of way. And if we can do that, I think everybody will be in much better position, and we'll have the votes. You got to get the votes for this stuff. And I think we were not necessarily there this last session.
So the issue popped up too late for everybody to be comfortable with a solution?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it was not even on my radar screen until we got into this last session when, we started to hear kind of from both sides that this is something that absolutely needed to be addressed.
In your speech to the delegates, you kind of did a post-mortem on the special election in the 10th. You want to elaborate on that? Was there really a rush of Washington money, liberal money, that elected a Democrat?
Yeah, the same groups that pushed for the election, the special election to happen in the 1st, absolutely were part of that 10th Senate seat race and funded the Democrats in many different facets of how they were getting their message out. So, it's not unusual for Wisconsin to be the focal point, certainly over the last 8 years. And there's more and more D.C. money that's been pouring into our state because Eric Holder and his group, along with former President Barack Obama, are absolutely focused on the state legislatures of the nation right now because they would like to be able to draw the next set of maps in redistricting. It's as simple as that. And as a result of that, I think you're not only going to see it in the specials, but you're going to see Eric Holder and President Obama try and raise more money and dump more money into Wisconsin in this election cycle, more so than you've ever seen before.
Then final question, Senator. In the March Charles Franklin poll, he found a 12 percentage point gap in enthusiasm, with Democrats 64% more excited than 52% than your party. Are you worried about that on November 6th?
Well, that's that first figure I threw at that congressional generic, and whether or not the Republicans are going to be fired up. Listen, with a U.S. Senate race that's going to be competitive, with a gubernatorial, with Governor Walker on the ballot, and then the congressionals all the way down to the assembly races, I think that Republicans are going to understand the seriousness of this election cycle, and I think they're going to be there. So I think we're in a good position to maintain our majorities, and that Governor Walker and that U.S. Senate race flips to the Republicans.
Then maybe just one quick question, since you alluded to the U.S. Senate race. You've backed Senator Vukmir, your assistant.
Yeah.
If Mr. Nicholson loses the endorsement, should he consider withdrawing?
I'll just say this. Leah Vukmir is a good friend of mine. She and I have worked great together. She's been my assistant leader now for a number of terms. And she has a proven track record. I don't know enough about Kevin Nicholson to even consider him as a candidate. But listen, Leah has been there as a true conservative for many years. And I think she also is the best contrast to Senator Baldwin as well. So I like Leah and I like her chances in the fall.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald,
thanks
for talking to Wisconsin tonight.
Have
a good convention.
Thank you.
Thank you.